It's a popular thing today that with preachers, you know, you got to warm up the crowd. And a lot of times we tell a joke or talk about the family and such to just kind of warm up the crowd. But I got a different kind of warm up for you this morning. I'm going to warm you up with the Word of God. And so I just want to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 4. Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Here's the charge given to every preacher. Preach the word. I want to tell you, that's what we need in this culture. That's what we need in this world. That's what we need in the church of Jesus today. Preach the word. It is the word of God that changes lives. That's what we need. Oh, how we need it. It is that power that changes us. In Hebrews 4 and 12, the Bible says the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit. We're in a series right now on the fruit of the Spirit. We need to know what the difference is between that old soulish man and the spirit man, what it is when we're truly walking in the Spirit. But it goes on, it says it discerns or it judges between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God has the ability to get right to your heart, right to the heart of the matter. You know, nowadays, if you have a problem in your physical body, you can go and you can get a PET scan or an MRI, and they can tell you what's going on the inside of your body. And I got to tell you that this series has been like an MRI for my spirit, for my heart, because it has just opened me up and shown what's on the inside. I don't know about you, but this series has not been easy for me. I mean, every week, I just realize a little bit more. This spiritual MRI I'm getting, I see some things in my life that need to change. And I would tell you that today is no exception. And I hope that even though this series might not be your favorite thing, I hope that it is impacting your life like it is mine. That the Holy Spirit is just, through the Word of God, is doing a work inside your heart, a lasting work, a life-changing work. Is how much? How much? I've realized how much I need to grow in the Lord. How much I need to specifically grow in learning to walk in the Spirit every day so that I see the fruit of the Spirit more evident in my life. I need that. I know some of you do too. Galatians 5:17 tells us that the Spirit and the flesh, or that old nature, they are contrary one to the other. They are in opposition to one another. Let me just give you an illustration about that. I remember 30-something years ago when I was the youth pastor at Grace. I was taking a group of teenagers somewhere in a church van, and we had a flat. And so I get out to change that tire, and it had one of these big, long lug wrenches. I mean, you could get a lot of torque with that big lug wrench. And I got that lug wrench, and I start trying to loosen those nuts to get that tire off, get the wheel off, and I'm just getting nowhere. I mean, I'm turning it. I'm getting, you know, about 4 or 5 inches on the end of that big lever, you know, every time I push. But it's just squealing. And it keeps squealing. I try another one, and it just squeals. I'm getting nowhere. Finally, after about 10 minutes, it was kind of dark, but I got down there, and I looked real close, and I figured out that on one side of that Ford van, it was reverse threaded. I had been tightening those lug nuts for 10 minutes. You can imagine how tight they were then. But I eventually got it off and got it changed. But here's what I want to say to you. You see, the spirit and the flesh are in opposition to one another. They're contrary to one another. And when we are walking in the Spirit, so much of the time, it is a reverse thread to the ways of our old nature. It's a reverse thread to the teachings and the ideas and the attitudes of the world. See, Jesus says, give and it shall be given unto you, when the world is saying, get all you can. See, the world is saying, you got to force your way. I mean, if you just don't go after it and take it, well, nobody's going to give it to you. Some of you are thinking, yeah, that sounds right. But you know what Jesus' attitude is? The meek inherit the earth. You see, we hear that, we just say, I don't even know how that can work. It's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing. The world says, well, don't take nothing off nobody. Come on now, some of you guys, you're like on the inside, you're going amen really loud. Don't take nothing off nobody. But you know what Jesus says? He says, turn to them the other cheek also. We don't want to hear that. I'm telling you that so much of the time, the Holy Spirit is in opposition to the flesh, to that old nature. It's going to have you do something totally different than what your old nature would do. Amen. Be assertive. Take charge. Crack the whip. Jesus says, anybody wants to be the leader, they got to be the servant of all. Hallelujah. It's a reverse thread. Opposite from what the flesh would say. And if we're going to be spiritual people walking in the Spirit, this is what the Spirit produces in our life. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're going to focus on gentleness this morning. I'll just tell you now, not my strong suit. I'm learning. I'm growing. This word is often translated as either gentleness or meekness. You know, sometimes it's difficult to find just the right English word to get the full meaning. Sometimes it's even described as mildness. But none of those do it justice on their own. It is a gentleness of spirit, a meekness of mind, a mildness of manner. It is the opposite of being arrogant and forceful or harsh. It is a lowliness of mind and an attitude of humility that causes us to treat others with care and respect. Now, in our rough and rugged individualism, most people think of gentleness as kind of a weakness, as being soft or maybe even spineless. But in reality, it is an inner strength. You know, the New Testament was written in Greek, and it helps us to understand how the Greeks used this word that we translate as gentleness here. You see, they used this word when they were talking about a soothing ointment that you would put on a wound. They used this word when they were describing the right kind of atmosphere to have during a classroom discussion. In other words, that there would be discussion about issues without someone losing their temper or becoming defensive. It sounds like something we need in our world today, doesn't it? And they also used it in reference to a powerful animal, like a horse, being trained and brought under the control of even a little child. In fact, we still use the word gentle that way today. When a horse is gentle, you see, when they're easy to handle, we call that gentle. When you're gentle, you live your life under the control of another, the Holy Spirit. That's really the only way that you see this supernatural quality in its fullness in your life, is that you are submitted to the Holy Spirit, that you allow Him to have control in your life. One man said this about those that lack gentleness, the man that lacks gentleness. He said, he is constantly ruffled. He allows every little insult or injury to throw him off his guard and to raise a storm of passion within. He's at the mercy of every mortal that chooses to disturb him. He's like the troubled sea that cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. See, here's the point. If the Holy Spirit doesn't control you, then others will. And you know, that old nature says, oh no, nobody's going to control me. Oh, until somebody says something that offends you or rubs you the wrong way, and all of a sudden you're all wound up, you're all bent out of shape. Guess what? You're being controlled by other people. You see, the Holy Spirit, he produces this gentleness in us, where we are no longer controlled by other people. We're no longer reactionary to life and the things that happen. When others are rash or forceful or maybe even attack us in some way, we don't respond in kind, but instead, because we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, we react with gentleness. Proverbs 15:1 tells us how it's supposed to be. You see, when you're attacked verbally, when somebody's all mad, when somebody's angry, it says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And you know, I've seen this with my wife so often. She's such a gentle person that when somebody's upset, she doesn't ever raise her voice. No, she always has a soft answer, gentleness. Now, I got to tell you, I'm kind of preachy. Did anybody recognize that? I mean, I can be loud. I can be forceful. And you know what? I think there's times we ought to be forceful. Let me tell you, we ought to be forceful. When we're fighting the devil.
That's right.
I mean, we need to be forceful in prayer. We need to be believing God. We need to stand fast. Again, the Bible says stand against all the power of the enemy. We stand against him. It's a warfare. But I tell you, when it comes to dealing with others, that's not the time that we're supposed to be forceful. That's the time that we should show gentleness. And I'm working on it. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is working on me in this regard. But gentleness is not a weakness. It is a sign of great strength. Because let me tell you, anybody can get angry. Anybody can raise their voice. Any moron can use profanity. But it takes strength of character. It takes the direction of the Holy Spirit. When you're in a situation where somebody's mad or somebody's attacking you, to be able to be gentle in return. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. That takes strength. See, sometimes we get the wrong idea of what it means to be gentle. Gentleness doesn't mean cowering down or always giving in. It is a quiet strength. Gentleness could be described as having the power but not using it. It's being smarter but not having to show it. It's being right but not having to prove it. It's when you don't have to but you choose to be the servant. That's gentleness. I have a good example in my wife again. She's a music major. She's been a part of many worship teams, singing groups, all kinds of different ways she's been involved in music. She's directed children's choirs and youth choirs and adult choirs and full-blown musicals of all kinds. And she was a music teacher for 7 years, gave private lessons on and on and on. But you know what? When you talk to her about music or when she's working with other people, she won't ever tell them, I know 10 times more than you do. No, she's just gentle. And I'm just telling you, this is the way that we should always be with others. In this world, there's this attitude of we got to come out on top. We got to prove we're right. It's a characteristic, this gentleness. It's just been lost in the hustle and bustle of our society. You know, there's a time when they used the term gentleman a lot. In fact, when I was a kid, most of the time, if you were looking for a public restroom, it would say gentleman. Nowadays they say men or who knows what they're going to say, right? But the point is that the term gentleman is hardly used today. Gentleman refers to somebody who treats others politely, respectfully. A gentleman opens the door. He lets somebody else go ahead of him. He prefers others. That's a gentleman, always polite, never harsh. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is always a gentleman? God the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're talking about power. The Almighty God in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is always a gentleman. He will not force you. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes when we're praying for somebody else, we wish the Holy Spirit would just force them, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you know what? The Holy Spirit won't do that. I mean, He'll work and He'll set them up and He'll send people their way and He'll find, you know, different ways to try to reach them. But the Holy Spirit is always a gentleman. He will not force you. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of the believer to produce this same gentleness in our life. Gentleness. It leaves room for God to work by His Spirit instead of us just trying to accomplish everything in the arm of the flesh. Gentleness is not demanding your way or pushing your agenda, but instead, this gentleness will bring about unity and harmony. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3, I think we read this passage already once in this series, but it just fits today. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Now, he just flat tells them, you're like babies, spiritual babies. And by the way, if you're just born again, there's nothing wrong with being a spiritual baby. But if they got to part the beard to get the bottle in, you need to grow up. I'm just saying. I don't know if that was gentle. But anyway, he says, "I fed you with milk, not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal." Remember, we're talking about walking in the Spirit and how it's in opposition to that flesh. He says, you're still carnal. You see, they still have strife and division and envy. These are all works of the flesh. "For where there's envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Mere men? Well, what else are going to behave like? Like a new creation in Christ. We're not supposed to act like just anybody. We've been born again. We're supposed to be different. It's one thing when we see this strife and division and envy in the world, but I think it grieves the Holy Spirit when we see that in the body of Christ and believers are no different. I'll tell you, when we live a Spirit-led life, you see, we're not always trying to defend ourselves, trying to promote ourselves. We're not having to watch out for number one because the Almighty watches out for us. See, when we understand we serve the God of the universe, we don't have to fight and strive with flesh and blood. No, we can be gentle because we're trusting our God that He's going to take care of us. He's going to work it out. He's going to bring His plan to pass. It is not the strength of our flesh that gets the purpose of God done. No, it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. You see, it's natural to be in strife and at odds with others. It comes easy to us to think that, well, we got to take care of ourselves, you know, we got to try to get our way. But instead, when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, that gentleness, it's supernatural. We are partakers of His divine nature. And you know what? Jesus is always the perfect example of someone who walked in the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It's a familiar passage, but I believe some of you are going to see some things here you hadn't seen before. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you know what? We love that because all of us have been there where we're just worn out. We've been under a burden, and he calls us to come. He says, "I'm going to give you rest." But you got to hear what else he says. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart." This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is God in a human body. And he says, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." How many leaders today do you hear stand up and say, "I am gentle and lowly in heart"? No, they boast and brag in such pride and arrogance and talk about how powerful they are and what they can do. Here's the Savior, and he says, "Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart." That's our Savior. "Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart." You see, that powerful horse has to be taught. It has to learn to be under control. And so we have to learn from the Savior. He says, "Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart." Or we can be so caught up in that old mindset, the ways of the world. We're always trying to get our way, always trying to, in pride, pursue after the things that we want, our agenda and what we want. And I'm going to tell you, that old pride, it is a bondage. It'll weigh you down. You see, Jesus says, "Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Wow. Rest. How'd that come? Well, I came to Jesus and I asked him to take my burden. You forgot. You got to learn from Jesus to be gentle and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I remember one time years ago, I guess things might have been a little tight. And so I was kind of poor mouthing to an old friend. And this particular man, he was a Christian, but he was, I guess, not really a strong Christian, not really serving the Lord. And about a week later, he sent me a book in the mail. It was called Winning Through Intimidation. And in the front of the book, he wrote about how this book had really helped him in his business and helped him to be successful. And I know that he was trying to help me. But I realized right away how carnal this was and how much that was the way of the world. And I got to tell you, that is exactly the way of the world, whether we realize it that plainly or not, that in this world, people learn how to try to get the best of others. They learn to intimidate, to manipulate, whatever it takes to come out on top to win. And they step on somebody if they have to. That's the way of the world. That's not who we are. This is a reverse thread that we win through gentleness. Amen. Our Savior, I'm telling you, he won it all. And there's nobody like the gentle Savior. This world says to push and shove, whatever you got to do. But Jesus is gentle and lowly. And when we go his way, we find rest for our souls. You know, one of the things that's interesting to me, the Bible doesn't say it, but it is so displayed, is that Jesus was never in a hurry. He wasn't ever hopping on a chariot. He was, you don't ever hear about Jesus running. Jesus was never in a hurry. And yet he fulfilled everything that he was supposed to do. He was led of the Spirit. So often we're just in a hurry, and I don't know, I guess we can really identify with the disciples because, like us, a lot of times they weren't necessarily really in tune with the Spirit. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be with Jesus as he's healing people and casting out devils, and the crowd is just all around, sometimes pressing against Jesus? I mean, these guys are a part of the most important thing in the world, helping Jesus with his ministry. And one day, some parents brought their kids, and the disciples started telling them, "No, get those kids out of here. Get those kids out of here." Kind of like some churches. "Get those kids out of here." I'll tell you what, we got a passion for kids here. We believe that kids are people. And you know the best time to save a drug addict? But when they're four? Just saying. But they were saying, "Get those kids out of here. Get those kids out of here. I mean, we're doing serious ministry here. Get those kids out of here." You know what Jesus says? "Bring them to me." And Jesus has time to take the little children up in his arms and bless them. Gentle. Reminds me a little bit of BJ. For those of you who don't know, BJ's a strong man. But sometimes you find him in there in the preschool room, sitting on the floor, 3 and 4 year olds climbing on him. Gentle. And you know, that's a picture of strength under control. But you know, it's easier to be gentle with a toddler sometimes than it is an adult. And they need it too. One of the most compelling testimonies of the power of the gospel to change a life is the Apostle Paul. When he was Saul the Pharisee, he was this angry religious zealot who was persecuting the church, hauling people off to prison. Just before he was converted, the scripture tells us this about him in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, "Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord." This was the way he was. He was so filled with this anger and this hatred and bitterness of soul. He is breathing out threats and murder against God's people. All the time thinking he's so righteous. Wrong spirit. Wrong spirit. But when he got born again, the Holy Spirit produced the fruit of the Spirit in his life. And he writes to the Thessalonians and he tells them, when we were with you, it's 1 Thessalonians 2:7. He says, "When we were with you, we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." How gentle is a nursing mother with her child? And Paul says, This guy who was so filled with anger and violence against the church, and now he says, "We were gentle with you, just like a mother, a nursing mother with her child." What a change. What a radical change had taken place in his life. This man, you know, he still had strong convictions. He still was a passionate man. He still was very determined. He held strongly to the scripture and to the cause of Christ. He was not wimpy. He wasn't a milquetoast kind of guy. He was powerful, and he yet exhibited gentleness in his life. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, he says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." And there it is again. Jesus is our example. But he says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I'm pleading with you, who in presence am lowly among you, but absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. See, they're walking in the Spirit. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. But notice this, he says, we're gentle among you. I don't want to come to you and be bold. I want to be gentle when I come. We need to understand, you see, this was his heart, that he wanted to be gentle with them. This is the heart that we need to have towards people. Whether it's our brothers and sisters or the lost, whoever they might be, we need to have this heart that we want to be gentle with people. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. First, I just want to stop right here and say the servant of the Lord must not quarrel. We have any servants of the Lord here this morning? I don't believe this is just preachers. This is anybody that serves God. If you're involved in the work of the ministry, you are a servant of the Lord. Listen, the servant of the Lord must not quarrel. No, not even then. No. The servant of the Lord doesn't get to quarrel with people. But be gentle to all. I got to tell you, if I let that old nature have its way, I can be sarcastic and smart aleck and hurtful. And over the years, my mouth has said some things that I shouldn't have said. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle. How about if I'm just gentle with those who agree with me? How about if I'm just gentle with people who vote for the same person I vote for? How about if I'm just gentle with people who live by the same convictions I do? How about if I'm just gentle with my brothers and sisters in Christ, but not the world? No, he said, gentle to all. Amen. Gentle, the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Able to teach, patient. See, not resentful or angry. In humility. That's actually the same Greek word as is found in Galatians 5:23 and translated as gentleness there. Correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. You see, in gentleness, you teach. You patiently correct. But understand this. Sometimes they're not going to receive it. I can guarantee you this, though. If you try to cram it down their throat, there's a 100% chance it won't be received. And you can act all spiritual and shake the dust off your feet, but you did more harm than good. The Bible says we are not to quarrel, but to be gentle to all. And we patiently teach and instruct in humility, in gentleness, we do that. And it leaves room for God to work. But you can't reach everybody. You can't help everybody. You know how I know that? Because Jesus didn't reach everybody. I remember the rich young ruler. The Bible says, and Jesus loved him. But the man went away sad because he wouldn't receive what Jesus said. And I'm telling you, you can't help everybody. But the ones that you're going to help, it's going to be because you helped them gently. Not because you were forceful and tried to ram something down their throat. I'm telling you, there's so much of that today in our world. That's what the world thinks of us a lot of the time, and it shouldn't be that way. So many messed up people. So many people doing foolish things, going the wrong way. Even believers. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass or a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So restore. You see, God always wants to restore. How do you restore? Well, most people don't. They just don't do it. The other extreme, though, is just as bad. They think they're going to restore somebody by letting them have it. Well, I just tell it like it is. We have to be gentle. We speak the truth in love. Jesus said we're the salt of the earth. I think some Christians want to be the salt in the wounds of the world, but that's not what we're supposed to be. See, it's not you're wrong and I'm gonna prove I'm right. That's not it. There is nothing meaner than a religious person that doesn't walk in the Spirit. Oh, we got to always walk in the Spirit. And when we do, this gentleness will be evident in our life. So how are you going to restore someone in the spirit of gentleness? That's how you do it. I read a story about one pastor who had a problem with anger. And it especially showed up whenever he would play basketball. And he was in a church basketball league and he kept losing his temper. So the solution was for him, he just decided he wasn't going to play basketball anymore. And so this went on for about 10 years. He didn't play basketball, and his anger seemed to be under control until his son started playing basketball. And then he would be up in the stands yelling in anger. He said finally it kind of came to a head, a culmination, when he was like on the fourth or fifth row, and somehow he found himself out on the court yelling. He said he didn't even know how he got there. Well, he got some letters from some church members telling him how awful his behavior was and criticizing him. But then one man came and talked to him. And he said, Pastor, I know that's not who you really are. I know that you don't want to be that way. He said, and I want to help you. He said, from now on, I'm going to come to the basketball games and I'm going to sit with you. That pastor said, that man saved my life. You see, that's restoring somebody gently. Right. We've all heard of the famous and fiery preacher, John Wesley. Great man of God. God used him so mightily to bring revival. One time, there was a military man that was traveling with Wesley. And Wesley said that he enjoyed this man's company, but there was one problem, that he would use profanity. And so one day, Wesley told him, he said, I enjoy traveling with you, and I would just like to ask a favor of you. And the man said, well, sure, I know you wouldn't ask anything that wasn't reasonable. And Wesley said, all right. He said, well, as we're traveling together, if I should just forget myself and maybe begin to swear, I would like for you to reprove me. The man said that Wesley had corrected him in a way that only Wesley could think of. It was such a gentle correction to him. And I just want to tell you, you see, if we want to help people, we want to restore people, you want to see people serving God, you want to help somebody going the wrong way, and you want to help them get turned around, listen, you're not going to do it by being forceful. No, you're going to do it by being gentle. Amen. In a spirit of gentleness, you restore those who are going the wrong way. Matthew quotes Isaiah the prophet, Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. tells us this about our Savior's prophecy about Jesus given at least 700 years before. He says, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust." I want you to notice he says very plainly, he says that Jesus did not break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. He's talking about gentleness. He's talking about that he didn't bruise people, he soothed people. And you know, we need to ask ourselves, do I bruise people or do I soothe people? Am I helping people or am I hurting people? You ever gotten a package that, you know, the box came and it said on it, fragile, handle with care? Anybody? Y'all, come on now. Did I lose y'all? Anybody ever got such a package? And you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. I'm telling you. I don't know about how it is with you, but especially here at the church, it seems like we've gotten so many packages where whatever was inside was destroyed. Y'all seen our missions board out there in the foyer, and that's the third one of those, because the first two were just destroyed. We had to send them back, and it's amazing how that happens. But you know what? We need to realize that whether it's marked on them or not, some people are fragile. You need to handle with care. Right. And that attitude of the world, maybe some of us who consider ourselves to be tough, we look down on such. But here's the truth. There's a lot of hurting, broken people in this world. There's a lot of people that have been through things that you don't know. You don't know what they've been through. And some of them, you know, they don't act fragile. They're all full of anger and mad at the world. But you know what they need? Gentleness. They need somebody to treat them with care. You see, if we're talking to a toddler, we know we got to be gentle. I mean, if you're barking at them, you're going to scare them. You're going to hurt their feelings. You may make them cry if you're barking at a kid. But maybe we're talking to a weaker brother or sister, somebody that's been through some things. You might be talking to a big, burly guy. Maybe they need gentleness too. Those of you that are my age, and maybe even a little younger, you remember in 1995 when the federal building in Oklahoma City was bombed. And there were a lot of lives that were lost that day. In this picture, you see Fireman Captain Chris Fields carrying a one-year-old little girl from the building. And it is a picture that shows us what strength under control looks like. Here's a man being gentle with a little baby. The little girl didn't live. Her injuries were too severe. And we can all understand wanting to be gentle with a hurt child. Chris Fields himself, after that event, was hurt, was broken. He said that he had a battle with PTSD. He would smell wet concrete. You see, it rained that day. he would smell wet concrete and it would bring back a flood of memories. He said that he used to be social, but after this, he just wanted to go home and lay around. He said that he dreaded the anniversaries of this event. So he went for counseling for several years. You know, I think back to my old hero, John Wayne. And I know what John Wayne would say in one of those movies. He'd say, "Get over it. Suck it up, buttercup." But the truth is, that's not what people need. People need gentleness. People need to be shown that same gentleness that God shows to us. And I know that sometimes even in gentleness, you speak the truth, and sometimes you say things that people don't want to hear. I get to do that. I did it today. But we do it in love, and we speak it in a way, hopefully, that it can be received. And I just want to challenge you and encourage you that this part of the fruit of the Spirit, the gentleness, listen, it's powerful. It is something that God can use mightily in this world where there's so much harshness and anger and bitterness, all of this going on in our world. And here comes somebody with the gentleness of Christ, I'm telling you. You can make a difference in this world. And some of those, I'm going to say it one more time, some of those that seem like they don't need it, you know, what they need is, I'm just telling you, what they need the gentleness. That's what you need to show them. And I encourage you, I challenge you to do that. Stand with me. We're going to pray. And as we do, I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and